Best and the Wicked, a Bungao Stray Dogs fan fiction, written by Intimatopia, read by God of Laundry Baskets. It is rated teen enough and features Dazai and Fukuzawa. Content warnings for past abuse, self-harm, suicide ideation, PTSD, and flashbacks. The strangest thing about leaving the Port Mafia was that afterwards, the nightmares got worse. In the Mafia, Dazai had usually managed about 3 hours of sleep a night before he woke up. He'd rarely remembered his dreams, and fell back asleep within an hour or so. He filled the gaps with work, and kept them afloat out of sheer necessity. Mori had known, of course, that Dazai was a restless sleeper. They did share a house. Sometimes if he woke up while Dazai was between naps, he'd make them both a mug each of hot chocolate and read while Dazai worked. But now, Dazai lived alone. And when Dazai woke up these days, there was no one around to keep himself together for. No incentive to pretend to be a person. So these days, Dazai spent most of the night pacing restlessly, or cutting himself, or mapping out ways to burn the Port Mafia out of the city. When he did sleep, he dreamed of Mori, of his parents, of a burning house and a cold room, and cuts he didn't make for himself. Dreamed of food he wasn't supposed to eat, and warmth that wasn't meant for him. He woke up panicking, woke up and was leaning over the basin in the bathroom before he knew it himself, holding a knife. The cool metal familiar against his clammy skin as he tried to remember where Mori had hurt him so he could make the pain his own. It helped, rarely. Most of the time, Dazai didn't feel better. Just lost enough blood to successfully pass out. He was also usually late to work the next morning. Kunikida yelled at him for it, and the 17th time it happened, Fukuzawa sighed slightly, which made him feel more guilty than anything else ever had. But he couldn't tell them why he was late, so he made up stories about girls and bars and unsavory nighttime activities. Deflecting in the hopes of staving off a confrontation he wasn't sure how to direct to his will. Meanwhile, the nightmares got worse. Dazai was barely sleeping at all. Alcohol made him puke no matter how little of it he drank. Something about the smell. And worst of all, he was now unearthing memories he didn't even know he had. Mori hurting him he could deal with. Touching him, often gently. Dazai was even more tired after those dreams. He hated them with a violent passion, but some part of him also craved them. Went over them obsessively over the next few hours so he could engrave every moment of them into his brain. He knew enough about trauma to know that those nightmares weren't true to life. But they were all he had of years of his childhood. They were important, and so he had to do his best to keep them, even if the entire endeavor was as painful as collecting broken glass with his bare hands. Then he began to flinch when people moved to touch him, and the careful, uneasy equilibrium he'd cobbled together fell apart. It happened with Kunikida because of course it did. Rampo noticed more than anyone gave him credit for, but he was also kind enough not to mention some things. But Kunikida was not the kind of person to just let go. "There's something on your shirt," Kunikida said to him, and before Dazai could say anything at all, he was reaching forward to brush his fingers against a spot just under Dazai's collarbone. The look on Dazai's face must truly have been something, even if his full body jerk wasn't enough to tip Kunikida off to the fact that something was wrong. He actually managed to look concerned, really concerned, not mildly annoyed and constipated. "Are you okay?" he asked. But Dazai was thinking about Mori, and how Mori and Kunikida were approximately the same height, and how Mori had touched him so many times in that exact place, fixing his suit or lingering fondly over the scars a particularly pleasing session had left. He'd never be able to look at Kunikida the same way again. "I have to go," he said, smooth voice, failing to conceal his terror, and fled. Dazai hadn't actually run from a problem in, oh, years. The port mafia didn't count, because apparently it was still with him. One couldn't shake off the past, but one could attempt to drown it in a river. He never got that far, though, because, as it turned out, running full tilt while not really paying attention to one's surroundings was a good way to trip right into the president. Dazai hastily rearranged his features into something that looked like his usual self. It felt more like a mask than it had in months. "Sorry," he said hurriedly, trying to push past Fukuzawa, but the man chose that moment to grab Dazai's shoulders. No matter how gentle the touch was, it was still far too much, tripping him over the edge into a panic attack. He'd had those before. He knew what they felt like. Like someone was grinding his bones into dust and the powder was clogging up the insides of his body. Like bloody flashes before his eyes and claustrophobia. And why the fuck was everyone touching him today? How is that all right? Dazai missed the mafia terribly. Missed a time when everyone had been far too scared of him to even think about placing their hands on him. Mori had never hesitated. Dazai was not ready to think about this. By the time the haze receded, he found himself curled up against a wall in a small, empty office room. Fukuzawa was sitting next to him, but far enough away that they weren't sharing space. Watching Dazai with the kind of indifference of a feline. Dazai stared down at his hands. He'd chewed them again, a habit Mori had tried so hard to break him of, and failed each time. They were shaking badly. His head hurt, and his stomach was cramping, and he wanted to die. There was no place he could go where he'd be safe or free, except if he died, he wouldn't exist, and maybe, just maybe, that would help. Knowing his luck, though, hell would be real, and Dazai would spend an eternity being forced to relive his own sorry, monstrous life. Wouldn't that be just? He forced himself to breathe slowly. It hurt, as it always did, but breathing slowly paced out the pain. "My name is Osamu Dazai. I'm 19 years old. I used to be a port mafia executive, but now I work for the Armed Detective Agency. I have 5 fingers on 2 hands, and I wear bandages to hide my body. I know how to be a person, even if that is not what I am." Thinking about himself in the first person was making him sick, so he stopped. "Is there anything we can do for you, Dazai?" Fukuzawa asked. He flinched again. Hearing his name did not feel good. "Not really. I have nightmares, and then I have whatever that was. A flashback." He rolled his eyes. "Okay, yeah, a flashback. It's fine. It won't affect the quality of my work." Fukuzawa blinked. "Have you been sleeping?" "I generally try to avoid that." He didn't know why he was telling Fukuzawa all of this. Not like the man needed to know. But Fukuzawa was asking with clear and steady eyes, and he felt rather powerless, all told, to resist. Fuck. He was so fucking tired. What do you do when you're not sleeping? Lie, he told himself. Lie, like your life depends on it. Oh, you know, the usual. There are a lot of pretty girls in Yokohama. He stopped, swallowed. He had a nagging feeling that Fukuzawa wasn't exactly buying what he was attempting to sell. There was a long, miserable silence. What do people usually do when they aren't sleeping? Dazai whispered. Cloth rustled as Fukuzawa shifted. They were both sitting on the floor, but Fukuzawa looked as graceful and comfortable as he always did. Sunlight slanted through the half-open window, illuminating swirling dust clouds. Possibly, no one had used this room in months, if that. Dazai watched the light for a long moment, strangely soothed by the patterns it created. Usually, people like to read or do something relaxing. I enjoy playing with my cats, because they're awake at night and like the company. Fukuzawa paused. You are not weaker than the rest of us for having nightmares, Dazai. Dazai laughed hollowly. Your dreams are not like mine. He was trying to be light, but it came out raw and broken. And your dreams aren't like mine, Fukuzawa said. His voice felt like screws pushing into the softest parts of Dazai, unbearably kind. He didn't have a response to it. What he wanted to say was, I spent years telling myself that one day I'd be able to rest, and it was the only thing that kept me going. And then I found another purpose in life, but that was taken from me too. I knew it would be ripped from my hands the second I dared to wish for it. I was hopeful and foolish, and now I'm cold and empty and alone, and I want to die. I still want to die. I am so tired, and I want to be able to sleep at night, but that won't happen until I die. I just want to sleep. I don't like being touched, Dazai admitted carefully. In my dreams, someone is always touching me, and I hate it, but I can't stop them. How bitter to admit to being powerless, even in a dream. Those five words would have delighted Mori for months with their potential. He couldn't resist sneaking a glance up at Fukuzawa. The man was still watching him, his eyes half-lidded but soft, accepting. Dazai felt cold and warm at the same time. He said, I promise not to touch you again, then. Dazai shook his head. It's not that I don't appreciate the lie, but you'll have to try harder to fool me. Why do you think it is a lie? When is it ever that simple? It's easy to tell me what I want to hear, but people don't keep their promises. I'd rather they weren't made at all. I'm sorry that has been your experience of the world, but not everyone is like that. Not everyone is out to hurt you. And yet, Dazai said blankly, it never seems to stop happening, does it? Fukuzawa didn't reply for a moment, then, I can't bring you peace, but I can tell people not to touch you without asking first, and I can give you a tea that aids dreamless sleep. Material kindness, Dazai thought, unbidden. Otosaku had introduced the words to him. The act of loving people through actions, through making their lives easier. He had been using it about Dazai. His throat ached. That would be... He tried to swallow past the lump. That would be nice. Just the prospect of a dreamless sleep made his bones sing with anticipation. I'm happy to help, Fukuzawa said, still that same gentle tone. It should have been too good to be true, but instead it was just steady, caring. Dazai didn't deserve this. Do you want some now? They walked to Fukuzawa's office together. Dazai hunched a little, trying to remain half a step behind Fukuzawa, just in case anyone asked them any questions. But they didn't even see anyone, and Fukuzawa's office was closed to the rest of the ADA. No one entered without explicit permission. It felt safer in here than it did in Dazai's apartment. He wondered if that was Fukuzawa himself, or the way his presence seemed to have steeped into the walls of this place, reassuring anyone who stepped in of its security. Both, perhaps. There was a pot of water on the desk. Dazai watched as Fukuzawa did things to it, but absorbed little of the events. Later, he would be hard-pressed to say what had transpired between Fukuzawa gesturing him to a seat and pressing a mug into his hands. The tea was sweet, just hot enough to drink, and warmth bloomed in his stomach as he sipped it. He was already halfway through the cup before he got himself together enough to ask, "Is this the one that will put me to sleep?" "No," Fukuzawa said. He was fiddling with a small box, measuring spoonfuls of powder into it. "That is a relaxant." "I see." Despite that, his eyelids felt heavy. When was the last time he'd actually slept for more than an hour, anyway? Fukuzawa's office was ridiculously comfortable. Fukuzawa laughed. "You can sleep if you want to, though. The couch is a little longer than most." Dazai lay down obligingly once he had finished his tea. The couch was still too short for him, but he could fit all of himself in it if he lay on his side and curled his knees like so. He wanted to thank Fukuzawa for his help, but his limbs were heavy, and he was asleep already in the span of time between the thought occurring to him and opening his mouth to say the words. If Fukuzawa noticed the tightness of Dazai's body, or the strained curve of his mouth, or the way he whimpered when Fukuzawa draped a blanket over him, he did not bring it up again. Dazai needed the rest. The end. Thank you for listening.